produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Daily Audio Stash is where responsible marijuana smokers listen to the latest breaking news about marijuana and cannabis, hear the voices of the marijuana law reform movement in special segments and interviews every day, and also kick back with comedy and music like no other podcast can offer. It's Normal's Daily Audio Stash. More information at normalaudiostash.com. Monday here, and it's Activism Day on the Daily Audio Stash. It's also our premiere show on June the 5th. After breaking news, we'll have our first segment on marijuana and MySpace, helping you find National Normal's official presence up there on that popular networking site. Also, an interview with Alan St. Pierre, Normal's executive director. We'll have an interview every day here on the Daily Audio Stash. And Reformer's Calendar takes a look ahead at this summer's marijuana-related events. Music on the show features Willie Nelson. Normal's Audio Stash, able to bring you music like no other variety podcast can. Top-of-the-line American artists like Willie Nelson. Also today, chapter profile this week, Drexel University's Normal, and we'll wrap things up with comedy from Tommy Chong. All here on Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Check out our website at normalaudiostash.com. We'll start every day here on the Audio Stash with breaking news from Normal. Our news today from Alaska. Meth marijuana bill becomes law. Possessing small amounts of marijuana, even in the privacy of the home, is illegal in Alaska, at least for the moment. Alaska's Republican Governor Frank Murkowski signed a bill Friday recriminalizing marijuana possession. The law will be challenged in court, according to the American Civil Liberties Union of Alaska, which will likely lead to a judicial review of Alaska's marijuana laws. Quote, "The right to privacy enshrined in the Alaska State Constitution is more important to the court and most Alaskans than the governor's ill-advised war on marijuana smokers," close quote, Normal legal counsel Keith Strupp says. The governor and his family seek to overturn a 30-year-old landmark Alaska Supreme Court decision that legalized the possession of up to 4 ounces of marijuana in the home for personal use. The court, at the time, ruled that the right to privacy was far more important than any harm that could result in use from the drug. The Alaska Supreme Court most recently upheld the 1975 ruling, Raven versus the State, in 2004. Welcome to our premiere show here today on Normal's Daily Audio Stash. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. We've assembled a spectacular audio magazine for you today. Take a moment to join Normal at norml.org. Let's get into our first segment, Marijuana and MySpace, Part 1. Marijuana and MySpace, an audio stash series. Part 1 of our series explores MySpace, the site itself, and will help you find the official Normal presence on the popular networking website. MySpace was originally created to offer a forum for local Los Angeles musicians, and now boasts being one of the most trafficked sites on the internet, and also somewhat the driving force behind a new wave of independent expression via cyberspace. It's linking millions to new music, videos, other people, and ideas. MySpace was purchased by Rupert Murdoch's News Corp, but absolutely nothing has changed about the site visually or in its features to the user. Despite ever-impending rumors, as always here, folks, don't believe the hype. As As more and more users have joined up on MySpace, there's something ever-present, sweetly smelling around. It's marijuana. Turns out some of the most popular groups on MySpace are marijuana-related, such as the aptly named Happy Stoners Group, with almost 40,000 members in a private group that screens profiles. Just imagine if everyone in that group lit a joint at the same time and blew a hit into their computer. Prohibition would be gone in a puff from cyberspace. Moderator Mr. Happy Stoner himself from California has diligently kept up this massive hobby group for absolutely no profit, but to offer a venue for smokers to express their thoughts on the subject. While individuals can reach out and also bring like-minded folks together on MySpace, businesses and nonprofits have also found new ways to reach this cyber crowd with a MySpace presence. But when you've got a brand name or a famous logo, it can be an uphill battle, sort of like Normal. Normal now offers a fully official MySpace presence as a portal to all cyber stoners to its wealth of information and resources needed to both deal with and change prohibition in America. Many individuals have sought to bring attention to Normal and the cause of marijuana law reform by creating profiles and groups claiming to be the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. But we're here to set it straight here today on the Audio Stash. The official National Normal profile on MySpace is www.myspace.com/NATLNORML. That's NATLNORML. On that profile, you'll find links to the other really, truly, no kidding around here, folks, the actual official other Normal chapter, the local chapters that have MySpace profiles. Now, there are some posers out there, folks. You've got to be careful, so make sure you hit up the official National Normal profile before you go scooting around to the other Normal stuff on MySpace. We'll direct you to all the official local chapters and the official Normal presence up there. Again, that's myspace.com/NATLNORML. All of us at Normal invite you to Normal on MySpace. It's the place for responsible marijuana smokers. Next week, we'll talk about High Times on MySpace. They've got great profiles up there. And remember, on MySpace, Normal's profile is www.myspace.com/NATLNORML. All of us here at National Normal, we'll see you online.
Finally, after 4.5 hours, two black gentlemen from the city of Compton, California, stop and pick me up. You know what they said to me? You didn't look like you was going nowhere. And they were right. Then they whipped out the largest bag of weed I'd seen in a long time when we got high all the way down I-10. We rode all night down I-10, stoned out of our minds in that 1988 red Scirocco. Rolling joints, passing joints, rolling joints, passing joints, all night long. Down I-10 through the Texas Hill Country to Junction at 290, 290 through Fredericksburg and Johnson City till up ahead was a sign, said Austin City Limits, where they dropped me off just beyond that sign at the Albertsons in Oak Hill at 4:30 in the morning.
That was a little comedy music we found for you up at podshow.com with PodSafe Music. We got links to Normal's official MySpace profile and the Happy Stoners group up on our website, normalaudiostash.com. Now let's listen in to our first daily interview with Normal Executive Director Alan St. Pierre. We spoke last week about Alaska. Well, first, Alan, let's talk about Alaska. It's with its great beauty, there is also, of course, great liberty in regards to cannabis. Tell us about the legislation bouncing around up there that seeks to perhaps change that.
Well, what the governor has been pushing for a number of years, Governor Murkowski, a Republican who used to be Senator Murkowski, his daughter is now, so they literally switched positions. She used to be the governor, and now she's the senator. And so the two of them have been pushing very hard to recriminalize marijuana, and I'll have to explain in some detail in a moment what do I mean by that. And so in the last couple weeks, the governor had lost a significant effort in the legislature to attach anti-marijuana legislation to an otherwise popular anti-methamphetamine bill. And it looks like he had lost his effort until three or four nights ago when, in the middle of the night, people switched their votes, and amazingly, this passed. And even though there'll be a lot of legal challenges coming in the ensuing weeks and months to stop the bill from going forward and being implemented as law, it is incredibly complicated to explain what is going on in Alaska as compared to the rest of the contiguous United States. So, in 1975, there was a Alaska Supreme Court decision, Ravin, R-A-V-I-N. And what that decision basically said was that in Alaska, whose state constitution is very specifically written as to allow for a wide scope of privacy, that judges ruled in 75 that possessing upwards of 4 ounces of marijuana constituted a realm of privacy in one's home. Unless they were selling it, unless they were growing a lot, they deem that marijuana effectively should be decriminalized for 4 ounces or below. And that had remained the case from 1975 through a second Supreme Court challenge in September of 2004, which reaffirmed Ravin. So the Murkowskis set to try to change the laws. And so what the legislature, in passing this law, now puts into motion is the governor to be able to effectively get the state Supreme Court to overrule itself. They have to prove that since 1975, there's new science, there's new information about marijuana's supposed harmfulness, or that it's super potent today, therefore it is a completely different drug than it used to be in 1975. That's the argument proffered by the government. And what the Supreme Court is likely going to do is have to weigh that consideration against this otherwise clear realm of privacy that Alaskan citizens enjoy. If one's a betting person, one would bet that the Supreme Court, which is basically the same Supreme Court that ruled in favor of the law in 2004, they likely will rule again against the governor, and it will just set into motion more legislative and Supreme Court battles. So at the moment, marijuana to a degree has been recriminalized, but only if the governor signs the bill as it's been created before injunctive relief happens. And so NORML, the American Civil Liberties Union, Drug Policy Alliance, Marijuana Policy Project, a number of groups are working to stop what's going on in Alaska. So it's very complicated, but at the moment, until the governor signs the law, a person, an adult, can have up to 4 ounces of marijuana on their person or in their home without fear of criminal penalty.
Well, it does sound very complicated in the legal and legislative end. But it's not so complicated when it comes to the actual polling of voters out there, is it? It's not a hairline margin. There's a real majority of voters in favor of marijuana.
That's right. That's the thing that makes us so disturbing, Chris, is that it seems to be so single-minded by the Murkowskis. It's not really supported by the legislature. The governor's had to do remarkable arm-twisting and pony trading, if you will, to get this bill through. And the question one begs is why? What are they hoping to achieve here? The legislature doesn't really support it. Editorial boards in Alaska don't. Columnists don't. And as you know, in polling and surveys, the citizens don't support it. And in probably one of the most important ways to measure public sentiment, 5 years ago, the citizens of Alaska voted in favor at the polls for medical access to marijuana. It is one of the 12 states that have medical marijuana. So it is really hard to understand why the governor and his daughter, when she was governor, and now working hand in hand as a federal senator here in Washington, what is going on? I mean, are they doing the bidding of the DEA and the Bush administration, or are they just anti-marijuana zealots? It's hard to know, but unfortunately, the pawns are the taxpayers and citizens of Alaska.
A big thanks to Alan for being our first guest here on the Daily Audio Stash. We'll hear from Normal's D.C. staff and board of directors frequently here on the program. And more about Alaska later in the week. Now let's take a look at the Reformers calendar. Today on Reformers calendar, we get to look ahead at Seattle's Hemp Fest with Normal Board of Directors member Dominic Holden.
The great green giant of hemp events. The nation's leading cannabis policy reform event turns 15 years old this year. Since 1991, Seattle Hemp Fest has been bringing you the nation's leading experts, activists, and advocates for industrial hemp and marijuana law reform. Music acts come around from around the world to support the cause, making Hemp Fest one of the largest venues to enjoy free music in the Pacific Northwest and beyond. There is no admission charge, and Hemp Fest is free to attend, but relies heavily on your contributions. Seattle's Hemp Fest permanent theme is education, with this year's subject being independence. As Americans, we honor and value our precious freedoms of speech and right to peacefully assemble, however beleaguered they might be. Attend Hemp Fest this year and learn how you can protect your rights and freedoms and perhaps even gain some more. Hemp Fest features multiple stages and a variety of political acts, arts, crafts, and food vendors against the backdrop of Elliott Bay and Mount Rainier. And it all takes place in Myrtle Edwards Park and Elliott Bay Park on the downtown Seattle waterfront. Hemp Fest 2006 will be held on Saturday and Sunday, August 19th and 20th, 2006, in Myrtle Edwards Park on the downtown waterfront. The lineup will be available soon at hempfest.org. For information about vending, volunteering, or attending, contact Hemp Fest at 206-781-5734 or email hempfest2006@hempfest.org.
A big thanks to Dominic for joining us today here on the Audio Stash. I'm sure you're going to find Dom up there at Seattle's Hemp Fest as well. Look, folks, pack your bags, get involved, and have a heck of a good time ending marijuana prohibition in this country. Next up, folks, and this is a real treat for us to play. It's Willie Nelson. No other podcast can offer this type of headline music talent, and as I said, we are proud to offer it to you. It is certainly a real honor for us to play a track from Willie, a Normal Advisory Board member and one of the best musical talents this country can call its own.
I wrote a song about me and Paul. Called it Me and Paul. Well, it's been rough and rocky traveling, but I'm finally standing upright on the ground. After taking several readings, I'm surprised to find my mind still fairly sound. I thought Nashville was the roughest, but I know I've said the same about them all. We received our education in the cities of the nation, me and Paul. Almost busted in Laredo, but for reasons that I'd rather not disclose. But if you're staying in a motel there and leave, don't leave nothing in your clothes. And at the airport in Milwaukee, they refused to let us board the plane at all. They said we looked suspicious, but I believe they like to pick on me and Paul. Package show in Buffalo with us and Kitty Wells and Charlie Pride. The show was long and we were just sitting there, and we'd come to play and not just for the ride. And we drank a lot of whiskey, so I don't know if we went on that night at all. But I don't think they even missed us. I guess Buffalo ain't geared for me at all. Well, it's been rough and rocky traveling, but I'm finally standing upright on the ground. And after taking several readings, I'm surprised to find my mind still fairly sound. I thought Branson was the roughest, but I know I've said the same about them all. We received our education in the cities of the nation, me and Paul. Thank you.
Willie Nelson, off the Hempelation album. We'll have more of the best musical talent from Hempelation 1 and 2 albums like Dar Williams, Cypress Hill, Spearhead. Great stuff, really, folks. We'll also be featuring PodSafe independent artists found up at podshow.com. Next, it's time for our weekly look at a local Normal chapter. Today, it's Drexel University's Normal. It's Monday here on the Audio Stash, and it's Activism Day. That's right, every single Monday you can line up your week with things to do to support marijuana law reform. Joining us today is Karen Molliver. She's Normal's Outreach Coordinator. Welcome to the Audio Stash here today, Karen.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for joining us. Nine new Normal chapters last year alone. And folks, really, out there, you got to realize that's big for any organization. So, Karen, tell us about one of these new Normal chapters.
Sure. And actually, as it is, there's been about four or five applications just come in recently. This thing's starting to spread like wildfire. Our newest chapters is at Drexel University in Philadelphia. This is a great group because with the help of their non-university chapter, Philadelphia Normal, they were able to get off the ground really quickly and in just their first semester and their first year get a lot of projects underway.
They seem to be doing great in organizing there at Drexel. Didn't they have a big march recently?
Right down South Street, the cultural epicenter of Philadelphia.
Karen, how important has this campus organizing been for Normal?
Campus organizing is absolutely essential since the majority of marijuana smokers and the majority of people being arrested for marijuana possession and sale are under the age of 30. And since Normal has been around for 37 years now, most of the people that are familiar with the name are a bit older, and it's time for us to start reaching out to the younger generations. That's where the pot smokers are, and they're the ones that should be standing up for their rights.
In the past, you'd lose your financial aid for smoking pot. You know, do you think students are becoming perhaps more vocal because of those draconian measures of the past?
Yes, absolutely. And it's a really important issue, too, for getting young people who are people of color, who are more likely to be, who are more likely to need financial aid to get into school. And if they're going to be denied that because of past drug uses, we all know the war on drugs is racist to begin with, and African Americans are targeted at a rate of 2-to-1 for possession cases across the country. It's absolutely essential that we got rid of this law. And again, that was really due to Students for a Sensible Drug Policy activating the youth and making a really incredible policy change at the national level.
Now, Drexel University is a very diverse campus. What other places like Drexel can students look for a Normal chapter?
Yeah, it certainly is, because Drexel is definitely very diverse. We're in the process of establishing our first HBCU, historically black college or university chapter in Georgia, hopefully. And we're also working on establishing a chapter at Howard University, another HBCU. So we're really looking to diversify the program, especially at the university level.
And Karen, if someone's interested in starting up their own Normal chapter, wherever they may be, how do they begin?
Sure, absolutely. The first thing you need to do to start a chapter, if you're at the university level or just in your hometown, is to find five other people who are either members of Normal or willing to become members of Normal. Once you got those five set, you need to contact the Normal office or go to our website at www.norml.org and follow the chapter links for the application. Of course, you can always ask for me at the office and I'll walk you through the steps.
And Molliver is Normal's Outreach Coordinator. Thanks again for joining us here today on the Audio Stash. You can help grow the marijuana law reform movement too. Start a Normal chapter where you live or go to school. You can find out more at Normal's website. That's norml.org.
or you can also call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
We caught up with Derek Rosenzweig. He's president of Drexel University's Normal Chapter. Welcome here to the Daily Audio Stash.
Thanks for having me.
Now, Derek, tell us a little bit about what brought about the Drexel University Normal startup.
After going to some of the Philly Normal meetings for a while, the board members there kept on saying that they wanted to start up a chapter at Drexel and at some of the local colleges. And, since I'd been going to Drexel for a while and, I'd been coming to the meetings for a while, they asked me if I would want to help get one started up. So I got the process rolling, started getting the signatures, and eventually found a, faculty advisor who would, work with us. And then we got started back in August.
And what's the process specifically for starting up a chapter on a campus?
You need 10 signatures, someone to be president, someone to be treasurer, and then you need to find someone from the faculty or staff who's willing to, sign on as an advisor. And that's really all you need to get started.
Now, was it easy or hard to find that faculty facilitator?
That was the hardest part. I went through about, five professors that that I had asked, and eventually we settled on a friend of mine from the College of Business.
And one more question while we have you here today. Do you have some advice for anyone else out there who might want to start up a normal chapter?
Best advice I can give is A, have a good website, B, stay in contact with your members, and Make it more of a community kind of thing.
Derek Rosenzweig is president of Drexel University's Normal Chapter. Derek, thanks so much for joining us here on the Daily Audio Stash, and have a very good day back there in Philadelphia.
All right, thanks very much.
Links to Drexel Normal are up at our website, normalaudiostash.com. Now it's time to wrap up our first show with some more great audio. This is what it's all about here, folks, on the Audio Stash. We're about to hear some comedy from none other than Tommy Chong. You can download the entire speech from Normal's website. It was recorded at Normal's conference in San Francisco. Friday, here on the Audio Stash, we'll have an interview with Josh Gilbert, the filmmaker of the new documentary, a.k.a. Tommy Chong. We're going to feature more exclusive audio from upcoming Normal events, but today, Monday, here on our premiere show, have a laugh with all of us at the San Francisco conference and Tommy Chong.
But it's really nice being, free again. Jail wasn't that all that bad. In fact, I want to tell everybody, all that Bubba stuff, that homo stuff, it's not true. It doesn't hurt. but it does hurt when the government is doing it to you. Yeah. Because at least, if it's your Sally, he might kiss you in the ear or something, but the government doesn't do anything like that, And I think what happened to me shows you how scared this government is. I've always, when I do interviews, people ask me about this government because it's so obvious, that they are, not just slightly retarded, but, totally. I mean, when you watch Bush speak, it really is like watching the kid from the special class, trying to talk about physics. The people that are under Bush, mentally, physically, they show you that other side. For instance, they show you about the real dangers of the real dangerous drugs in this country. Namely, alcohol, for instance. Now, alcohol, when you think about what happened to Dick Cheney's friend, that gives you a good example of alcohol abuse. And I think, I know because from experience that Dick Cheney's Secret Service guys smoke pot. I know that for a fact. I do know that. And the reason I know that is that I sold them bongs. Yes. Yes. And they posed for a picture. They have me, and they've got the bong in their hand, they're pulled, and they said to me, I didn't ask, but because I knew they were cops, but they said, hey, you know who we are? And I go, no. And he goes, we're Secret Servicemen. And I said, oh, great, you know. Who are you protecting? They go, Dick Cheney. So I know that one of those guys were supposed to be taking care of Dick Cheney the day he shot his friend. So I can imagine what happened. Here's a drunk Dick Cheney with a loaded weapon, right? And the stoned Secret Service guy looking at Cheney thinking, uh-oh. Someone's in trouble here. Then he looked over and he seen Dick's friend, Harry, in the line of fire. And so he yelled to Harry, duck. And Dick Cheney goes, where? At least that's something that could have happened.
That was Tommy Chong at the Normal 2006 conference, accepting an award from the Normal Foundation there with a truly genius impromptu stand-up. We've got links to download his entire talk from Normal up on our website, normalaudiostash.com. You've been listening to Normal's Daily Audio Stash. A big thanks to Alan St. Pierre, Karen Mallover, and Derek Rosenzweig for contributing to today's show. And thanks to Podshow.com for all the amazing pod-safe music. We featured Rubber Band Banjo, Pistol Whippin' Snappers, and Carne Cruda today in our show. Make sure you visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. That's normalaudiostash.com for more information about today's show. Thanks to Red Aphid for the podcasting technology. We're back at 4:20 tomorrow. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today, and see you at 4:20 tomorrow.